Picture this. A beautiful afternoon flight. You're a few hundred feet above a neighborhood, drifting along, looking down at the houses and streets. You feel like you've got the sky entirely to yourself, and somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm legal, right? I mean, I'm flying, there's no speed limit sign up here. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today, we're digging into Federal Aviation Regulation 91.119, Minimum Safe Altitudes. And I'll tell you right now, this one catches more pilots off guard than almost anything else in the regulatory books. Not because it's complicated, because it is almost universally misunderstood. And there is a real difference between those two things. Before we get into the numbers, quick word from our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for pilots at every step of the journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial rating. There is a coin for each milestone that actually matters. If you want to mark the moments worth remembering, AviationSoul.com is worth a look. All right, FAR 91.119, the version most pilots carry around in their heads goes something like this. Stay 500 feet above the ground in rural areas, 1,000 feet in cities. That's the gist they picked up somewhere in ground school, and they filed it away and moved on. That version is incomplete. And incomplete regulatory knowledge is where enforcement actions live. Let me walk you through the actual rule, translated as we go. The regulation starts with a baseline, except when necessary for takeoff or landing, no person may operate an aircraft below the following altitudes. Then it breaks into three parts. The first part says, anywhere. At an altitude allowing, if a power unit fails, an emergency landing without undue hazard to persons or property on the surface. The second part says, over congested areas of a city, town, or settlement, or over any open-air assembly of persons, an altitude of at least 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft. The third part says, over other than congested areas, 500 feet above the surface, except over open water or sparsely populated areas where the aircraft may not be operated closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. Three scenarios, three different standards, and the differences matter enormously. Let me start with the first one. The anywhere rule is the one nobody talks about, and it is the most fundamental. It doesn't give you a number, it says you need enough altitude that if the engine quits right now, you can land without hurting anybody on the ground. That's a judgment call. It depends on your airplane's glide ratio, the terrain ahead, whether there's a usable surface within reach. What that means practically is this. If you're 200 feet over an empty field with nothing ahead but a highway and a tree line, you may be in violation of the first part of FAR 91.119, even if nobody is around for miles. 200 feet in most general aviation aircraft doesn't give you time to maneuver to a safe landing point. Enforcement of that specific provision is rare and deeply situational. But the principle is worth internalizing because it captures the actual logic behind why these rules exist at all. Altitude is options. When the engine stops, altitude is the resource that converts a catastrophe into a forced landing. The regulation is simply asking you to keep enough of it to make the landing survivable if you have to make it right now. The second scenario is the one that creates the most real-world confusion. Congested areas. 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft. I want you to notice what that does not say. It does not say 1,000 feet above the ground. It says 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet of your airplane horizontally. Let's do the math together. You're flying over a neighborhood, relatively flat, nothing particularly tall. Ground is at sea level, you're at 1,500 feet. You feel fine. You probably are. Now there's a water tower at the edge of that neighborhood. 200 feet tall, within 2,000 feet of your flight path, your legal floor just became 1,200 feet above the ground, at the base of that tower. Not 1,000, 1,200. Make it a 400-foot communication tower, which is a very common height, and your floor is 1,400 feet. If the surrounding terrain gains another 100 feet in elevation, you're doing that math on top of everything else. Now picture a pilot doing a lazy sightseeing tour at 1,000 feet above the ground in a neighborhood with a 300-foot cell tower visible on the sectional chart. That pilot is 200 feet below their legal minimum altitude. They don't know it, they're just looking out the window. Here is something the FAA left deliberately open in this regulation. The definition of the word congested. It doesn't appear in the definitions section of Part 1 of the FARs. The FAA didn't define it, and that was intentional. courts have interpreted it broadly over decades of enforcement cases. A subdivision counts, a commercial strip counts, a small town counts. You do not need to be over a skyline for the congested area standard to apply. The way the National Transportation Safety Board and the FAA evaluate it, if people live there, work there, or gather there regularly, it's probably congested. That standard is loose, which means it tends to favor the congested interpretation when there's any doubt. I also want to highlight the other trigger in that second part of the rule that almost no one talks about, open-air assembly of persons. That language means that if there's an air show, a county fair, a football game in an open stadium, an outdoor concert, a large fly-in with spectators on the ground. The congested area standard applies over that gathering, even if it's sitting in the middle of an empty field miles from any town. The people are what trigger the rule, not the presence of buildings. Think about what that means the next time you're transiting near a major outdoor event. The 1,000-foot above highest obstacle standard follows the crowd, not the city limits. Third scenario. Non-congested areas, open water, and sparsely populated places. Here, the rule shifts from a height above ground standard to a proximity to things standard. 500 feet from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure, not above the ground. From any of those things. Three dimensions. If you're flying at 500 feet over a lake, and there's a sailboat 200 feet below and slightly to the side, that's not 500 feet from the vessel. The actual distance between your airplane and that boat in three-dimensional space is less. You're not legal. If you want to make a low pass past an isolated farmhouse out in open country, 500 feet from that structure means the actual distance between your airplane and the building, not 500 feet above the adjacent field, from the structure itself. Most pilots interpret this as a vertical clearance requirement, and in the simple case of flying over flat terrain with nothing around, that works. But in coastal, rural, or open water scenarios where this provision is most relevant, the literal three-dimensional reading is what the regulation says. Know that before you fly the beach, the river corridor, or the lakefront. Let me talk about helicopters briefly, because FAR 91.119 includes a fourth provision specifically for them. Helicopters may operate at less than those minimums prescribed for congested and non-congested areas if the operation is conducted without hazard to persons or property on the surface. Helicopters get more flexibility by design. They can hover, land almost anywhere, and operate with a precision that fixed-wing aircraft don't have. A helicopter doing powerline patrol at 50 feet over a right-of-way corridor is operating legally. A Cessna 172 trying to do the same thing is not. Understanding why helicopters get that flexibility also clarifies why the fixed-wing minimums are where they are. They aren't arbitrary. They're calibrated to what a typical general aviation airplane can realistically do if something goes wrong. Now let me tell you how pilots end up on the wrong side of this regulation, because it's almost never intentional, what usually happens. The flight starts normally, something catches the pilot's attention below, and they descend. They're focused on the view, they're not calculating altitudes, and they drift below a floor that moved without announcing itself. The local sightseeing flight is another common one. A pilot wants to show a passenger the town they grew up in. 1,000 feet feels like plenty, and it might be, but if there's a broadcast tower at the edge of town at 400 feet, listed right there on the sectional, and that tower is within 2,000 feet of the flight path, they're 200 feet below their legal minimum over a congested area. The cross-country scenario is more subtle. A pilot is at 3,000 feet indicated, feeling comfortable, tracking toward a small town at 2,000 feet terrain elevation. There's a microwave relay tower near the edge of town at 300 feet above local terrain. Now that pilot is 700 feet above the tower in indicated altitude in a congested area. With a legal floor of 1,000 feet above that tower, which means they need to be at 3,300 feet indicated minimum. They're 300 feet low. Nobody flagged it. No alarm went off. They just didn't do the math. The fix is not complicated. Before any flight over populated areas or near towns along your route, spend 60 seconds with the sectional. Look at the maximum elevation figures printed in each quadrant. Check for tower symbols, especially the ones with small elevation numbers next to them that are easy to overlook. Know the terrain elevation at your destination and along the way. Calculate your actual floor. Build the habit, and you won't be caught off guard. There's also a practical tool worth knowing. The FAA's Digital Obstacle File, which is a publicly available database of all registered obstacles in the national airspace. 4Flight, Garmin Pilot, and most other planning apps pull from it. If you're flying near industrial areas, ridgelines with communication infrastructure, or anywhere you're not familiar with, it's worth a quick scan in the planning phase. The tower that isn't marked obviously on the sectional is usually in that database. The Airman Certification Standards reference FAR 91.19 in the cross-country flight planning and traffic pattern sections of the private pilot certification. Your examiner will ask about minimum safe altitudes during the oral portion of the check ride. The answer that earns a nod is not 1,000 feet. The answer that earned confidence is, in congested areas, 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of my airplane, and in non-congested areas, 500 feet from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. Then walk through the math briefly. Show that you understand the calculation, not just the number. That answer tells your examiner you've actually thought about this, not just memorized it. Here's something I want you to sit with before I let you go. FAR 91.19 is a rule that protects people on the ground, not you. You made a choice to get in the airplane. The family on the street below you didn't ask to have a several hundred pound aircraft passing overhead. The couple on the sailboat didn't choose to be underneath your flight path. The altitude buffer exists because if something goes wrong with your airplane, you need time and altitude to react before you fall into someone else's world. That's the human reality behind the regulatory language. When you take 60 seconds to calculate your altitude floor before flying over a neighborhood or a marina or a small town air show, you're not doing bureaucratic compliance. You're making a deliberate decision about the margin of safety between your airplane and the people living and working below your flight path. Keep that in mind the next time a view catches your eye and your hand starts moving back on the throttle. Regulatory text comes directly from the Federal Aviation Administration's published FARs, and the enforcement interpretations draw from published National Transportation Safety Board docket decisions, which are available at ntsb.gov. If you want to read how real situations have been adjudicated, you can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. See you next time.